There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 942, June 6th. 2022, Nasser.
Thank you, sir. I say greetings and racing regards from Belle Isle to Bjorn Wertheim moment in Barcelona. We shall explain gladly. Back to you, El Jefe.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Will Powers to victory in Detroit. Ricciardo could be out at the end of the year. Di Silvestro and Ms. Calderon will make their first IndyCar series start at Road America. And Fernando is questioning the driver salary cap. And just a reminder, we need your contributions to keep this program on the air. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab. You know you'll want to. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I'm doing very good, sir. Thank you for asking. How is the host with the most doing?
The host just got back from work. I raced over here on my bicycle because I'm keeping my carbon footprint very tiny. So F1 Weekly is very responsible. And of course, I get right to the studio, turn the power on, and here I am, Nas.
Shall we call you Sebastian Rogers from now on?
That'll work just fine.
Are you ready for Formula Uno on Sunday, Senor?
I am, with Baku, all the good stuff, LCH not retiring, LCH a producer now with Brad Pitt, and George admits to the fact that he thought he would have won a race with his Mercedes by now. So it's all very intriguing, and of course some people think that Verstappen is beginning to mentally grow and change and may not be in F1 that long. Not everybody makes it a long, long life career. So, very interesting stuff. Bottas is as happy as he possibly can be. You got Gasly, who saw Sergio get re-signed and felt that moment, you know, when the gut, you know, sort of like when you get the letter and it says the IRS, that kind of feeling, really guttural, knowing that he may never, never be in a top team. And that's, you know, that's Formula One right there. Always exciting, Nasser.
Yes, sir. And as always, you are correct. Red Bull and Max are on fire. And round 8 on Sunday is in the land of fire. And I must say, mighty fine Shashlik, Azerbaijan. I have never been to Baku, but my friend Mr. Peter Nygaard of Grand Prix Photo tells me the city track is very impressive. The long and wide straight and track going through historic buildings confirms that. And it was on this long straight last year that Max had his Mansell moment, and the everlasting image from that was him kicking the left rear Pirelli tire after it went done blowed up and gave Perez the opportunity to score his first Red Bull victory. Now, I'm sure you remember, and so do a lot of people, LCH outbreaking himself and losing a sure shot second place came back to bite him in the season finale when he had his messy moment. That's all in the past, so let's fast forward to coming Sunday. What Kodak moments can we expect? I am thinking a red car on pole position with French-speaking driver at the wheel. Time will tell if Red Bull will once again provide a Polaroid moment and produce an instant victory with some clever strategy, which will shock the monkey and the prancing horse. Let's not forget Checo. He is the new machismo of Milton Keynes. The real question here is, will the Red Bull take each other out fighting for victory? We have seen this movie before at the very same theater not too long ago. I suspect this will happen sometime during the season. The possibility of a prancing horse doing body slam with a steaming Red Bull will only increase as we race towards the second half of the season. And now that Checo has won a race for Red Bull this season, the heat will intensify for Carlos Sainz Jr. to do the same. I just hope he does not make any more mistakes. Not sure about you, but I think car number 44 will still be missing in action in Kaesong. But it will be very nice to see King George on the podium, because after all, it's time for Platinum Jubilee celebration for Her Majesty and her some of her subjects are celebrating with platinum piercing. But that's another story. And sir, this question came to us from Wheel of Misfortune. Who will hit the wall first in Baku? Mick Schumacher or Nicholas Latifi? And we will come back to you to answer some of these questions. Now, like LCH, Daniel Ricciardo is having his own DNBN Pooh battle, which brings us to today's motorsports mantra, which is called the Dingo Dive. But before we go into the rise and fall of Daniel Ricciardo, any thoughts, pre-race thoughts on Baku?
Well, like you said, I mean, the LCH losing the brakes on that restart and giving it all away was awesome, awesome, awesome! And I'm sure he's freaking out on that right now, but he's drinking Cristal and is feeling pretty good about it. No, it's going to be a great Grand Prix. And of course, after that devastating loss for Leclerc, where he saw a win, he saw kissing the prince and princess, and it just didn't happen. So he needs to bounce back just for his psychological testicular fortitude. And Max, oh boy, he's got to bounce back because his teammate just won in Monaco, which is the place he would win to, you know, if everything worked out correctly with the Jesus. But no, there's some exciting stuff at the front, and these people are just bubbling. And of course, we have Jos Verstappen, who's going to be looking over the fence over at Ferrari and trying to read their notes to see if the if the spaghetti culture is not going to repeat a bad strategy.
Yes, you know, the Charles Leclerc thing was very sad because you said the prince and the princess, they are basically his neighbors. After all, Monaco is smaller in size than Central Park. So that was very, very disappointing. And one can hear his frustration using the very choice words when he was in the pits. And when he's in the pits, they're telling him stay out. So that was classic ravioli rigatoni culture. But these things happen. We all make mistakes. Okay, and as far as Max is concerned, as Jos is concerned, he was not only outraced, but Perez was also faster than him in qualifying. So this was a Perez's weekend, which really in a place should have been dominated by Max, was quite an eye-opener for Maximilian. But he's going to fight back, and I think we're going to see a great race because of the long straight and the high speed of the Ferrari and Mr. Max being super relentless. I think it should be a lot of fun. But sir, let's go on to, we haven't done a motorsports mantra, so it's about time. And like I said, this is called the Dingo Dive, the rise and fall. And I'm hoping it's not a fall of Daniel Ricciardo. Daniel Ricciardo, the driver who rattled the cage of Sebastian Vettel and the driver who could run with Max, is now like the Buffalo Soldier, fighting on arrival, fighting for survival in the land of McLaren. In the arms of Zak Brown, he is feeling the heat you feel when your teammate is constantly piling on the pressure of performance. How did he get here? The answer could be time and circumstances, or the tainted love he felt at Red Bull. Despite impressive race-winning drives with the energy drink team, he felt the taste of love was reserved for the other driver, the mighty Max. His fellow Aussie mate had the same feeling after a not-so-Turkish delight with Dr. Marco's original love child, Sebastian Vettel, now an ambassador for Greenpeace. Ricciardo bailed out of Red Bull and had 25 million reasons to join Renault, only to find out they were also running a Formula One team with a GP2 engine. Being the smiling assassin he is, Danny did not scream, but after delivering a couple of podiums to the French team, he moved on to his Formula One project for to join McLaren. The good harmony between the two teammates at McLaren, both ever smiling, was jovial and competitive. Ricciardo raced to an impressive first win for McLaren in many years at Monza, while Lando played the good wingman in the closing stages. But that was all she wrote for Ricciardo. The 2021 championship shows Lando in 6th with 160 points against Ricciardo in 8th with 115 points. This season, after 7 races, the score is Norris 48 points, Ricciardo 11. As Miss Nina Simone would say in her song, Sinner Man, who you gonna run to? Ricciardo can go back to Renault as they have machismo and much younger Aussie whippersnapper Oscar Piastri waiting in the wings. He can go back to Red Bull as both seats are signed for the next few years. And here we get Roscoe on the show.
The mailman has just arrived with the F1 Weekly data package telling us how many millions of people are listening to us.
And the paycheck, right? With lots of zeros.
Yes, the paychecks are here. Those are much lighter and take no room at all.
There is Aston Martin with unlimited budget, but the big question is, who will they copy next? AlphaTauri? When drivers with not much talent do not succeed, it is not painful for them nor their fans. But with Honey Badger and all that talent, it is a crying and sour shame the situation has come to this. Like Lewis, Ricciardo loves America. Maybe he will take the 310 to Yuma and rise like the Phoenix in IndyCar racing. The stage has been set by the Zanardis and Montes of the world. And Mr. Rogers, now may we have your expert Siskel and Ebert review of this developing Ricciardo movie.
Well, it's the review that we've heard time and time again. It's bizarre, but I know everybody's going to laugh at me. Mock me if you will. Timing, karma, GP2 engines lurking in the background all make the great package. And I'm telling you, George right now is scratching his head because he's going, damn, did I just go to the wrong team at the wrong time? Probably not. They have a big budget. And of course, the allure of McLaren. The allure of McLaren. What is it? It took Fernando and sucked him in twice for the great scream of the ages. And apparently, Ricciardo could not resist. I really thought he should have gone to Ferrari, but no. Now what we have here is a man who can't figure out what the hell kind of car he's got under his testicles. It's a shame. And not only that, but he's getting older every year. So that compounds the situation. And not only that, but if you ask our friend over there, our American buddy who loves hot dogs, Zach Brown, I mean, Zach almost acts like, well, maybe Ricciardo is a jinx, but they're going to get rid of him. I'm telling you, it's going to happen very, very soon. And Ricciardo will be with Kimi Raikkonen in the camping truck series very, very soon.
Yes, he will be a very welcome addition to IndyCar racing. And with all the, you know, slings and arrows going on the web, I don't think we will see him in Formula One next year. And there's really no point in driving for Williams or Alfa Romeo. You're going to be doing even worse. And after the performance he has put in these two seasons, I don't think anybody's going to be paying him anywhere near $25 million. So we'll see. But we wish him all the best and hope something works out for him where he is happy. The man is always happy, so, which is a very good thing. You know, I've never seen him moaning and pissing and all that. But let's see what happens in the next few weeks. Okay, sir, now credit where it's due. I was going through Autosport magazine, autosport.com, and this is under the banner of F1 Factoid. They have a piece on drivers who led a lot of laps, basically who led the most laps but never won a race. Okay, so here is a long list of Boulevard of Broken Dreams. Drivers who led the most laps and never won a Formula One championship race. The key is championship race. Leading the herd from the land of sheep is Chris Amon. The Kiwi led 183 laps, but bizarre happenings robbed him of becoming a Grand Prix winner, like Clermont-Ferrand 1972, where his Matra had a late race puncture. Now, this was also the race that ended the racing career of Dr. Helmut Marko. And the reason I said championship races is Chris Amon did win a couple of Formula One races, but they were non-championship events. Yeah, strange things were happening to him. Some $2 piece would fail while he was leading and just could not put together. You know, some years ago he was interviewed in Motorsport magazine, which is another great magazine, focusing on historical stuff. And they asked him, you know, you have to be the unluckiest driver. And he says, no, he said, I am the lucky one. And then he started counting names of drivers who perished while he was racing. And that was, unfortunately, a very long list. And Mr. Rogers, on a chilling note, when Chris Amon left Ferrari because of car breaking down, this day and age called spaghetti culture, Enzo Ferrari wanted him to stay. And when he could not convince him, Enzo's last words to him, which you can read a lot and quoted to Chris Amon, were, I will win a race before you do. And how true that turned out to be. Okay, sir, second on this list is your French driver, Francais, Monsieur Jean Berra. He led, you know, this name is of very big importance to me. When I was a little child, I got a copy of a racing, I was very young, I remember this, and there was a one-page article on Jean Berra, and it started out, by the writer wrote that he was at a race event, and he mentioned the name to somebody, Jean Berra, and the guy said, wasn't he some French driver who raced many years ago? So I've always had affinity with this name, and I've read quite a bit about him. Anyway, he led 107 laps. His claim to fame is punching Ferrari team manager Romolo Tavoni after the 1959 French Grand Prix. And despite personal requests made more than once by Enzo Ferrari in his office in Maranello, Berra refused to apologize to the team manager Tavoni, so he was fired. Few weeks later, he crashed to his death at the Avos track in Berlin, driving a Porsche, and sometime later his widow would say to Tavoni, if only Jean had stayed with Ferrari, he might have lived. Quite an irony there. Third on the list is another French driver, Jean-Pierre Jarier, a gentleman I remember very well. He led 79 laps. His is a classic example of what a good driver can do in the best package. In the post-1978 Monza tragedy, Jarier, his nickname was Jumper, replaced Ronnie Peterson at Lotus as teammate to new world champion Mario Andretti for the final two races, the US Grand Prix and the Canadian Grand Prix. At Watkins Glen, his Lotus ran out of petrol. Surprise, surprise, Mr. Chapman. The 78... And by the way, he did set the fastest lap in the US Grand Prix, which was impressive. Then the final race of the season was the 78 Canadian Grand Prix at Île Notre Dame, which is now today called the Circuit Gilles Villeneuve. Jarier led from pole position and at one time had a 20-second lead, but then he had some oil-related issues. I think it was oil leak, and he failed to finish, which allowed Gilles Villeneuve to win his first Grand Prix in his own Quebecois lay backyard. Among today's F1 drivers, George Russell is fifth on the list with 63 laps led and still waiting for his lucky day. Here is some more interesting factoid from the wonders of web. But this is a different story now. But I find it very interesting. A comparison of percentage of teams' points scored so far. This first one is very impressive because I thought the gap would be much wider. Max has scored 53% of the Red Bulls' points and Perez 47%. Pretty close, and I have to say a very impressive job by Checo. Second one is kind of surprising too. Leclerc 58%, Sainz Jr. 42%, which is not bad for Carlito despite all his issues this season. And now the big surprise, but probably not for the Hammy haters. Russell has 63% of the points for Mercedes, while Lewis has 37%. So that's Russell 63%, Hamilton 37%. And this is followed by an even bigger surprise. Portimao, Tsunoda, 65% of AlphaTauri's points have been scored by him, while Grand Prix winner Gasly has 35%. And the last one is, you know, when your job is secured, you don't have to worry about anything. When daddy's name is on the building, you don't have to worry about furlough or early retirement. So Stroll has 29% of the points of the Aston Martin team, and Sebastian Vettel has 71 points. Anything surprise you here, sir, in the percentage?
Well, I think the Max and Perez thing is very surprising, and people are overlooking a few. It's amazing how some of the previous teammates that he had, which are younger people than Perez, really couldn't compete with Max, while an older Perez can. I mean, he's only 32, but still, once you're in your 30s, you're vintage. It's very impressive. I don't know where Perez is getting this, but I suggest that his mama added a new ingredient in La Fajitas.
Well, you know, he has applied himself, and I think he's very committed to the program. When that happens, you know, I see that, you know, when I go to races and have a chat with young drivers, you can see those who are happy-go-lucky characters, and that doesn't mean that they are not committed or not working hard. But it's no surprise that people who normally make it happen also have a pretty serious, let's say, approach to racing. They want to win. They're not there to have a good time or enjoy a fajita with sour cream and guacamole. Like Patrick Head, this really explains it. Patrick Head saying about Alex Zanardi that after every test session, every qualifying test session, instead of getting with the engineers for debriefing, he was off to his next cup of cappuccino. So we'll see how it works out. You know, there is a lot of talk that Ricciardo will go, and then the question is who will join him. Pato O'Ward has already signed with McLaren's IndyCar team, but they can take him anyway. And one of the names that is being thrown around is Pierre Gasly. Now, I, of course, have nothing against Pierre Gasly, but, you know, once you go against a serious yardstick, which Max Verstappen is and will be for many years, and you just completely, to borrow a phrase from Dr. Marco, all you do is try to reinvent the car every race weekend, then chances are you are not that caliber. So I don't think that would be a good addition for them. I think they should take what they call a punt on Oscar Piastri. And there is this young kid from New Zealand, what's his name, Liam Lawson. He is very talented. He is in the Red Bull program. But, you know, he's in his second year of Formula 2, and he's not leading the championship. So I would rather have them take it. Sometimes you take a flyer on somebody, and they can make it happen, you know. Somebody did at Spa in 91, and, you know, Mika Hakkinen out-qualified Senna in their first race together. So I would rather see that. Give somebody a chance. If they can make it happen, fine. If not, don't say you were never given the opportunity. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying. I mean, I'm thinking Fernando at Minardi, everybody going, machismo. It was awesome. What I really enjoyed was seeing Flavio at the Monaco Grand Prix. Didn't you like that, Nasser?
Oh, Flavio is a character. Yeah, absolutely. Man, I would love to get an opportunity to sit down and talk to him. You know, I'm going to tell you what I was telling my sister the other day. You know, I'm going to the Mid-Ohio IndyCar race also. And my current job contract expires in January. And I'm really just getting to a point that my happiness is going to the tracks, not to, you know, not to a business office and working 8 to 5 every day for the rest of my life and whatever is left of it. So it's time to pack it up and enjoy major racing. And I really, really would like to, you know, people who may talk to me, you know, Flavio, Mr. Bernie Ecclestone, Mr. Jackie Stewart, if we can get to these people before they kick the bucket. You know, I'm going to tell you something, man. I was very, very sad when I heard that even somebody like Johnny Servoz Gavin, who passed away not at a very old age, and Peter War, you know, this American guy, Tyler Alexander, he had a great story, you know, worked for McLaren for a long time, so we will never have those opportunities now, but there are some, can you imagine sitting down with Alain Prost for 20 minutes? And now that he's no longer an ambassador for Renault, he may want to say a few things, so that will be very interesting. So we'll see, you know, what time will bring. But I'm making these trips as many as I can as a sort of a precursor, as my pre-season testing for going to a lot of races. And with 3 races in the U.S., Canada, Mexico, that's, you know, flipping 5 races just in North America. So maybe I can do, if I can do 8 or 10 races in a season, man, I'll be smiling. I'll have a bigger smile than Daniel Ricciardo.
That's awesome, Nasser. And you know what? I've got some escargot de Bourgogne just finishing up on the stovetop. So why don't we take a quick break, and we'll be back after these brief messages.
Hi, this is Mika Häkkinen, double Formula One world champion. All the best for the readers, F1 Weekly.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. We shall start with IndyCar racing from Belle Isle. Detroit, final race before it moves back to downtown Detroit, where once upon a time Formula One cars used to race. Pole for Penske driver Joseph Newgarden, and victory for another Penske driver, Will Power from Australia. This is win number 100 for Chevrolet since they returned to IndyCar competition in 2012. Only other engine supplier in the series is Honda, and Mr. Penske and company has been looking for a third partner. It will be very nice if BMW or Toyota can join the party. And they're also going hybrid engines in a few years. So we'll see what happens. Next, Indy Lights. Linus Lundquist is turning out to be the super suede of Indy Lights racing. He won both races over the weekend on Belle Isle and now has a handsome lead in the championship. And Mr. Rogers, as you know, this series offers what Formula 2 will never, that if you win the series, whether you win in your first year or your seventh year, you get a $1 million bonus as a credit, which you can apply to. It guarantees you 3 races with the team of your choice, if the team agrees, of course. And the 3 races include the Indy 500. So you can really make something with this handsome sort of, you can say, offer or package or deal and make something of your career. Now, the IMSA cars were racing in action also on Belle Isle. Have you seen any racing on Belle Isle, which is a very nice location? I'm kind of surprised they're going to downtown Detroit. Have you seen action on this track?
Yes, I actually watched a good portion of this Grand Prix, and Belle Island is very, very nice, and I was a little confused on why they were leaving Belle Island to go to downtown, but I think they're trying to revitalize downtown, which is a theme across America today. Everybody wants to revitalize downtown when maybe they should be going uptown. I have no idea, Nasser. I'm not into city politics, but revitalizing downtown is very trendy.
Well, you know, when they built what is called, you know, the big buildings, which is General Motors headquarters, Renaissance Center, it's known as Rensen, and that was also part of downtown redevelopment years ago when Ford and GM put in a lot of money. And what is going on with the revitalization of the downtown Detroit is Roger Penske is behind it, and also the guy who owns, you know, this big mortgage company, Quicken Loans, I believe it is. The guy who owns that company is also behind the redevelopment of the downtown. Maybe they should bring in Petula Clark as the honorary starter for the race next year.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go
downtown.
When you've got worries, all the noise and the hurry seems to help, I know.
Downtown. Good idea, Nasser.
When you're alone and there's nowhere to go, downtown. Very, very nice song. Okay, sir, moving on, staying in motorsports, we go to... Oh, man. Did you watch the MotoGP race?
It's too exciting for me sometimes. I'm getting old, Nass. I can't take it. The ticker. Very sensitive. Very much like Mr. Sanford.
Yeah. You know, one more thing. Another series that raced there was the IMSA race. Victory went to Cadillac and the Ganassi team, courtesy of their Dutch driver, Renger van der Zande, and your fellow Francis Sebastian Bourdais. Okay, MotoGP, man, I watched this race on a Spanish network. I could not get some English feed on the web. So anyway, I watched any language, no problem there. So it was Moto Hepe, which reminded me of our favorite series, Hapidos. Three riders were taken out on the opening lap at the first corner of the Barcelona circuit. Winner was French rider for Yamaha, Fabio Quartararo. Alex Espargaro, local hombre, wow, what a thing he did. He was running second and then started celebrating his podium finish before completing the final lap. And you should see the reaction of his people, of his team, and also how he was embarrassed after the race. And if you remember Mr. Rogers, this was how Bjorn Wertheim lost a certain victory in Monte Carlo some years ago, when he was like within sight of the checkered flag and slowed the car and started waving, and somebody else went by and won the race. I think it was a World Series by a Renault race or a GP2 race. Now Alex, who rides for Aprilia, finally got going but finished fifth and totally devastated. And then after the race, he was singing one of our favorites, "I'm sorry, so sorry," or whatever the word is in Espanol. Okay, sir. From two wheels to back to motorsports and four wheels, WRC Rally Italia in Sardinia. And Sardinia is where Flavio apparently owns a big sort of a bar or something like that. Ott Tänak from a motorsports crazy nation called Estonia won the rally in another in a car from another hotbed of motorsports, Korea, in a car called Hyundai. Remember the Korean Grand Prix?
One of my favorites, Nasser.
Oh, man, that was a pretty, pretty sad story there. Anyway, but now it's gone. And it went after like 2 or 3 years, and the Vietnam Grand Prix, the so-called destination city, oh, boy, that went so fast, nobody ever saw it. Now, sir, we, you know, love young talent from who come into motorsports. And I've been following a couple of cases, and this is a segment called Faces Going Places. Now, you know, I don't know if Ron Dennis ever said this, but he is quoted as saying that he will never hire after Andrea De Cesaris, another Italian driver. They cannot win because they are very emotional. And everybody's aware of the Latin temperament. We see that with Montoya. We see that with Jean Alesi, okay? But this kid, Andrea Antonelli, he goes by the name Kimi Antonelli. There were three races over the weekend in Italian Formula 4, and he won two of them, the first two, and he was second in the final event of the weekend after leading the third race also for quite a while. So I think this is a talent to watch, one to watch, as they say. And, you know, that used to be the advertising tagline for Renault cars when they were selling. Do you remember?
Do I remember? Hey, me and Lee Iacocca wrote that.
Yeah. Yeah. Renault, one to watch. Oh, yeah. They had a, I don't know the model. It used to come in a diesel format also. Oh, boy. What a slug that was. But the Renault Fuego was a good-looking car, which was sold here in the U.S. I remember that. And the other kid, young kid, speaking of young kids, you know, I'm kind of disappointed in the field we have in Formula 2. I mean, there are some drivers who are doing very well, but if you are leading a championship after 3 years in the GP2, that's not going to impress a lot of people. And there were some other talents, you know, like Yuri Vips and the guy I mentioned already, Liam Lawson. They're all very good drivers, but they are not delivering the goods. So we'll see how it works out. And the other kid is, you know, Kimi Antonelli is in the Mercedes driver development program, and the other kid from New York, Ugo Ogochukwu, he's also doing a very good job. He's in the British Formula 4, and he is in the Zak Brown, under the Zak Brown umbrella, McLaren driver development program. Okay, next we travel on Electric Avenue for Formula E action from, wow, another hotbed of motorsports. Very hot and humid hotbed, Indonesia. There was a race and Mitch Evans from New Zealand won that race over your man, Jean-Eric Won. You know, Jean-Eric Won, I think, is one guy who should come to IndyCar racing. I think he will do very well here. But just a personal opinion. Sir, the Le Mans 24 Hour is coming up this month. Any interest in that?
Of course. Le Mans is the testicles of motorsports. It holds everything together, and it grows and grows and grows. It's awesome, awesome, awesome. So, no, big race, but really, I mean, there's some really weird stuff going on. Have you seen that new Peugeot 9X8? Awesome. I mean, that thing... Whew, mamma mia, that's going to be a spicy meatball. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, but I'm going to tell you which something that's going to be even more spicy as sauerkraut is the BMW hypercar. Have you seen that?
Yes, I have seen that. And I'm going to top you on the BMW because in 2023, you know who's coming to town? You know who's coming to La Salle? Who's coming to Le Mans? NASCAR.
Oh, of course. Well, I mean, that calls for a 21-gun salute.
NASCAR is going to be back in town. They're bringing the Camaro fully modified because, of course, they have rules in France. Unlike America, we like, you know, keep things civilized. So he'll have to have headlights, taillights, license plate, wipers, driver's license. It's going to be awesome, awesome, awesome.
So will they be saying on French radio network, Le Mans network, leading the race, American... Dietrichel and Greg Biffle.
Exactly. It's going to be awesome. And then Marc Martin. They're going to franchise all those names. Oh, I mean, it's going to be boogity, boogity, boogity.
The franchisation of names sometimes can be very interesting. Like, you know, San Marino Grand Prix is Grand Prix de San Marin. And my favorite of all time is Buenos Aires for Buenos Aires.
Makes perfect sense to me.
Of course. But man, I'll tell you, have you ever been to the Le Mans 24-hour race?
When I was a child, holding my papa's hand.
Yes. And your dad was at the 55 Le Mans, right?
He was. And, yes.
Yeah, it's a great race. They have a fantastic museum. And that's a great race for interviews, you know. But, you know, the problem is, if you go, like, you know, when I'm going to this IndyCar race, actually, I don't know if I should say this, but I did send a text message to... Roger Penske's PR person, which surprisingly he has not responded yet. I said, hey, I'll be at the race on Sunday. But it's very hard to get these top line people to agree to an interview on a Sunday. But you know, hey, all you can do is try. The max they can say, live, no. And we've heard that a few times before. It's no big deal. But, yeah, one of these days, hopefully Mr. Rogers next year, I'll be roving and moving and flying. And trick is to get these tracks on Thursday, Friday. Then it's very relaxed and you have time to set up interviews and talk to them. And then I'm even thinking of, once I get there, you know, I don't need to, I can just fly out on Sunday, you know. What we want to do is get a lot of, have a portfolio of a lot of interviews with from top to bottom drivers, you know, and racing personality. Speaking of this, I was at the Cincinnati Airport, which is located in Kentucky, and I met a gentleman on the railway system there. He was wearing an Indy cap, so I have to talk racing when I see somebody with anything racing related. And that was his 55th Indy 500, and he lives not too far from here. And he has worked in IndyCar racing and as an official. So I got his contact info, and I'm going to hook up with him, and we're going to record a conversation and get stories from behind the brickyard, as they say. So, Mr. Rogers, let me ask you your favorite question. Who's going to win? Baku?
Oh, Mamma Mia. It's going to be one big surprise, and it's going to be a Spanish-speaking surprise.
It's been a while since Charles Leclerc won a race, huh? Max went 3 in a row, then Checo. He has to win. He has to win now.
Yeah, yeah. But something could happen. There could be a little bit of rain. There could be...
Have we ever had rain in Azerbaijan?
No. But, you know, with Putin pissed off, we might have missiles.
Well, we had that in Saudi Arabia.
I know. It's not uncommon. That's why I mentioned it. This is part of the new world order, Nasser.
Yeah. You know, he called it Houthi and the blow tank.
Beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. But yes, Fernando will win in Baku. It's going to be very big for Alpine and the president of France.
Yes. Yeah, you know, if Fernando wins a race, it will be quite a day for World of Motor Racing. He's in his 40s now, right?
Correct.
What you call the old man of the sea. Maybe we should call him Old Man of the Danube. Doom, 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 doom. Yeah, it looks something. But I really definitely want to see a couple of Carlos Sainz. If he cannot get a win this year, that's going to be very, very pathetic. He has to get a win this year. And I would be very happy if, again, we're talking, you know, taking into consideration Package. Lando Norris, I would love to. He can win a race, you know, one of those crazy races. Kind of a race he lost in Russia last year, which he should have won had he listened. I think he would have won had he listened to his team instead of shouting, shut up. But that's the way it goes sometimes.
Well, you're right. And you know who else really would love to win a Grand Prix this year is Bottas.
Bottas is not going to win a race. I don't think it's going to happen.
I understand, but his name should be changed, really, to Bottas.
Oh, after that... dip in the Colorado River?
Exactly. As a matter of fact, I hope he paid his American National Park fees.
Well, he did get them a lot of million-dollar publicity.
Absolutely. I believe that will be the new National Park official poster for all the U.S. government offices.
Yeah. Our bottoms are shining for you.
Come and touch them. You know you want to.
Oh, yeah, you know you want to. Yes.
Bravo, bravo, bravo. On that note, Nas, it might be time to wrap it up.
Yeah, I think so, before we turn this into a penthouse podcast.
Yes, we don't want that. And please, anybody, leave the audience now. So there you have it. I think Fernando will win in Baku because there's going to be some freakish stuff happening. But we really want Leclerc to win. So that's my tip of the day. I also want to thank all the listeners who hang in there. And once again, so there's a lot of weird podcast streaming apps that are starting to not work properly. Folks, if your app doesn't work properly, in the meantime, go to F1Weekly.com, GrandPrixWeekly.com, MotorsportsMondial.com, and click on it right there at the bottom of the published page. You'll be able to listen to it there. But yes, we have had some issues as the world continues to turn. So, Nas, I want to thank everybody who listens. Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.